I would like to start off this morning with a bit of transparency regarding my preparation for this morning's sermon. In my reading and studying to give an insightful Mother's Day sermon for today, I found some interesting and insightful challenges. In our society, which seems stuck in constant transition, as paradoxical as that might sound, it seems Mother's Day at church brings about, for some, a sense of uneasiness, discomfort, an unnerving feeling, and or an awkwardness. One preacher remarked that Mother's Day feels like a minefield behind the pulpit. Who wants to experience those things as we gather to encourage one another? Because that's what, prayerfully, we're all in agreement. What we meet to do is to encourage one another to continue our work in the world during the week. I know I sure don't want to feel discomfort or uneasiness or unnerving as I'm trying to be encouraged to continue the mission. I believe we are all in agreement that mothers should be honored. However, due to our many different upbringings, views of motherhood and desires for motherhood, women who want children and cannot seem to have them, women who have children or have become pregnant and don't want children, women who have experienced the death of a child or children, and those of us who have experienced the death or the passing on of our mothers. It does seemingly become a complex topic to preach about. After all, Mother's Day is not mentioned in the Bible. All of that said, our message this morning surely highlights the honors and honors the value of mothers and their giving birth. However, I want to stretch the beauty of giving birth to apply to each and every one of us this morning. We must not and will not ignore the value of Mother's Day. However, I believe it to be of great importance to heed what the Scriptures say. In Colossians 3:17, it says, "Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus and giving him glory." Therefore, our celebrating Mother's Day this morning and our celebrating mothers will be done in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, will be done through his power, authority, and truth. Here at the Blue Point Bible Church, we understand that glory to be seen in our living and expressing a thinking faith. One of the things I have to admit is that when you go online and you begin to look at what to, you know, to try to be inspired for a message for Mother's Day, you know, the all too common, most of us have been sitting in church for years, so we know the messages about, you know, Hannah's mother, or, Hannah, the mother of Samuel, or, Mary, the mother of Jesus, or Naomi and Ruth, or the virtuous woman of Proverbs 31, and all the all too common messages that are being preached this morning in churches. But here at our church, that's what I appreciate about the Blue Point Bible Church, is that we have a thinking faith, that we don't want to and we don't feel boxed in, that we have to always be talking about the same exact thing again and again, placating each other with biblical truth. As I expressed a couple of weeks ago, I'm convinced that much of our work is and should be effectively thinking through the characteristics listed there in 2 Peter chapter 1. Listing those quotes, it says that these must be yours and must be increasing if you are to be fruitful and effective in your use of the knowledge of God. We possess those things, we increase in those things, and we cause them to be birthed in this world. While gaining a zeal empowered by knowledge, focusing on said characteristics shows how we live out the things we think about. It's an all too common thing to hear so many frustrated with the way the world is and seems to be going. As we have noticed, and as Brother Edward highlighted for us this morning, our society today has a lot in common with the last days, which perfectly we're all in agreement were fulfilled in the first century. Had to make mention of that, of course. Hatred seems to lead the way in our culture. The love of many seems to have waxed cold. Dissension is definitely before peace in almost everything that seems to be done. Disobedient children have been a reality since the beginning. We see Adam and Eve's children, Cain and Abel. Cain kills Abel. False teachers, again, they were very evident there in the biblical times, and they're here in our times as well. We see a lack of peace all throughout the world. I know I'm not the only one watching the media. Although we must admit we do see gradual improvements from time to time, and that's important to make mention of. Unfortunately, the all too popular response to all of this chaos is a frustration that more often than not leads to a lack of caring. Well, as the sermon hints at this morning, and as Brother Edwards' prayer highlighted, we are called to care. We are called to care about the things that are going on in this world. What I am placing emphasis on this morning is that we are not at liberty not to care. Rather, we are called to care. We are called to walk by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. We do see things that frustrate us. Evidently, yes, yes. But we are called to walk by faith. And like Father Abraham, to call things that are not as though they are, as we read in Romans 4, 17. Sure, we could be frustrated with the way things are. I know I am. However, that frustration must translate in our walking by faith and birthing the things of God in this world rather than a disinterest or a negative attitude. The text I chose to highlight this morning is John 19, verses 25 through 30. Here, Jesus is on the cross. If you're reading along with me in the Pew Bible, it's going to be on page 1048. Starting at verse 25. I'm sorry, I'm in Luke 19. John 19 is on page 1084. Verse 25, it says, "The soldiers did these things. They began to cast lots for his garments." Continuing, "But standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, 'Woman, behold your son.' Then he said to the disciple, 'Behold your mother.' From that hour, the disciple took her into his own household. After this, Jesus, knowing all things had already been accomplished to fulfill the scripture, said, 'I am thirsty.' A jar full of sour wine was standing there, so they put a sponge full of sour wine upon a branch of hyssop and brought it to his mouth. Therefore, when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, 'It is finished.' And he bowed his head and gave up the spirit." In this text, Jesus Christ is at a moment of extreme anguish, literally about to die, and he cares about others. He doesn't focus in on himself. Rather than developing feelings that would make him selfish, which I will speak for myself and say I'm all too prone to do, Jesus' concern is for his mother, whom he reminds his disciple, "Behold your mother." And his concern is for others, "Woman, behold your son." And the disciple seemed to evidently get this, because it says that he took her immediately into his home. He cared for her. Even in a moment of severe distress, our Lord cares for others. Catch the power of that. In a moment of distress, frustration, anger, hurt, etc., we are called to follow after our Lord and care for those that are around us. The scripture says, "Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty," 2 Corinthians 3:19. But let's be clear this morning. We do not have the liberty not to care. We must care. Sister Meredith sung a song about the stubborn love of God. We are called to have that same stubborn love for the things of God and their being birthed into this world. We are called to care. It is our duty to birth the things of God in this world. Or as the Message Bible translates, it says, to bring out the God flavors. I mentioned a couple of weeks ago that in my 2 Peter 1 growth journey, I'm currently focused in on moral excellence or virtue. In my desire to intentionally increase in these things, I picked up a book called The Book of Virtues, this rather big book here. I do believe some of the anecdotes I will bring before you in a moment will encourage not only the mothers among us, but each of us. I have picked out some that spoke to me, hoping they will speak to you. I will say this. I know I'm not alone in my frustration in seeing a lack of virtue within this generation. It seems moral reasoning has led the day, back and forth debating about what is right and wrong, rather than a growing moral literacy. Therefore, I believe each of us will be blessed to think through some of these virtuous tales and thus examine ourselves in how we are birthing these virtues in our lives and in the world. So you'll see that handout I've provided in your bulletin. It says, "How are you being called to care and birth virtue into this world?" The first one we're going to start with here is the flies in the honeypot. A number of flies were attracted to a jar of honey which had been overturned in a housekeeper's room. And placing their feet in it, they ate greedily. Their feet, however, became so smeared with the honey that they could not use their wings nor release themselves, and were suffocated. Just as they were expiring, they exclaimed, "O foolish creatures that we are, for the sake of a little pleasure, we have destroyed ourselves." Now, in the original story I had read, it talked about, for the sake of a transitory joy, we have destroyed ourselves. And we should all be very familiar with this, because this is an unfortunate reality of our world, that most people are content or are desirous of transitory joy. Or as our reading here says, a little pleasure rather than a lot of pleasure, rather than a lasting joy. A lasting joy that only comes from the Lord Jesus Christ, only comes through knowing Him, only comes through eternal life. 1 John chapter 2, verse 17 says, "The world is passing away and also its lusts, but the one who does the will of God lives forever." We do not want to be like the flies and the honeypot. That is not our story. We are not here for a transitory joy. We are here for the eternal joy, the eternal glory of our Lord and Savior. I know many people I can share that proverb with. The next one I want to bring us to is the story of Jim. Last week was Nurses Week, so it's important to honor the nurses amongst us and the work that they do. And here we're also going to see the importance of not only the nurse, but cleaving to the things that we are called to cleave to, holding on to the things that are important. There was a boy named Jim. His friends were very good to him. They gave him tea and cakes and jam and slices of delicious ham and chocolate with pink inside and little tricycles to ride and read him stories through and through and even took him to the zoo. But there it was, the dreadful fate befell him, which I now relate. You know, at least you ought to know, for I have often told you so, that children never are allowed to leave their nurses in a crowd. Now this was Jim's especial foible. He ran away when he was able. And on this inauspicious day, he slipped his hand and ran away. He hadn't gone a yard when, bang, with open jaws, a lion sprang and hungrily began to eat the boy, beginning at his feet. Now I just imagine how it feels when first your toes, then your heels, and then by gradual degrees, your shins and ankles, calves and knees are slowly eaten bit by bit. No wonder Jim detested it. No wonder he shouted high. The honest keeper heard his cry. Though very fat, he almost ran to help the little gentleman. "Ponto," he ordered as he came, for Ponto was the lion's name. "Ponto," he cried with angry frown. "Let go, sir. Down, sir. Put it down." The lion made a sudden stop. He let the dainty morsel drop and slunk reluctant to his cage, snarling with disappointed rage. But when he bent over Jim, the honest keeper's eyes were dim. The lion, having reached his head, the miserable boy was dead. When nurse informed his parents, they were more concerned than I can say. His mother, as she dried her eyes, said, "Well, it gives me no surprise. He would not do as he was told." His father, who was self-controlled, bade all the children round to attend to James' miserable end, and always keep a hold of nurse for fear of finding something worse. So now that we've commended the nurses amongst us, it's also important, again, we see the beautiful picture there of a boy that was supposed to hold his nurse's hand when he goes to the zoo. And he lets go of his nurse's hand and suffers devastatingly, loses his life. And as Christians, we know 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21 talks about the things we are called to hold on to, the good, and let go of the bad. Unfortunately, you see a lot of times in our culture, we want to hold on to the bad and let go of the good, or not even know what the good is to properly identify it. Our Lord Jesus Christ said this in John 15:5. "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing." We must hold to Jesus Christ. Amen. That should be a good reminder that we don't want to be like Jim. We want to make sure we're holding to the things that are good. Our Lord and Savior is indeed good. And if we abide in Him, we can bring forth much fruit. So we've already passed on transitory joy. We don't want that. We want lasting joy. Now we're realizing that we need to cleave to the things that are good. We need to cleave to our Lord Jesus Christ, lest we suffer the same fate as Jim. The next one I'd like to bring us to is a child's prayer. Beautiful prayer. God, make my life a little light within the world to glow, a tiny flame that burneth bright wherever I may go. God, make my life a little flower that giveth joy to all, content to bloom in native bower, although its place be small. God, make my life a little song that comforteth the sad, that helpeth others to be strong and maketh the singer glad. God, make my life a little staff whereupon the weak may rest, so that what health and strength I have may serve my neighbor best. God, make my life a little hymn of tenderness and praise, of faith that never waxes dim in all his wondrous ways. Amen. The beauty of a Christian life. Amen. We are called to be the light and the salt of the earth. In Matthew chapter 5, we read that. Salt brings out, as I mentioned before, the flavors of the earth, the God flavors. We're called to bring out God in this world. We are called to have to be the light, to highlight and to shine the things that we believe need to be seen in this world. So when we become frustrated that the things aren't being pronounced, as Brother Edward again made mention of in his prayer this morning, when we don't see those things happening in our culture, we know that we need to be the ones bringing them out. We need to be making them grow. We need to make the world glow. We need to give joy to all. We need to helpeth others be strong and serve our neighbors best and have a faith that never waxes dim. Amen? That's our job. That's our prayer. Maybe that little child's prayer can become our prayer. And the next one really speaks to all of us. Again, maybe you don't identify with the flies in the honeypot. You got the transitory joy thing. Maybe you don't identify with Jim. You say, you know, I cleave to Jesus Christ and I do not let go. So maybe all that stuff didn't work for you. Maybe you're not a child, so you didn't identify with this child's prayer. However, this next one I believe we can all identify with. Count that day lost. If you sit down at the set of sun and count the acts that you have done, and counting find one self-denying deed, one word that eased the heart of him who heard, one glance most kind that fell like sunshine where it went, you may count that day well spent. But if through all the livelong day you've cheered no heart by yea or nay, if through it all you've done nothing that you can trace that brought the sunshine to one face, no act most small that helped some soul and nothing cost, then count that day as worse than lost. First off, that gives a shout out to our Sunshine Committee. Let us walk worthy of doing kind deeds that fall like sunshine, so that our day may be well spent. We must add value to each and every day. I know Sister Kathy prays often about the beauty of a day, and this week I took some time to really make that my praise, to just praise God for a day and ask him how I might walk worthy of the beauty of that day. This prayer right here, count that day lost, is something we can all take home with us. To ask ourselves, are we really doing that work? Can we count our days well spent, or can't count those days as worse than lost? So we leave here this morning imbued with wisdom about virtue, challenged to find ourselves increasing in it, and doing this to the effect that we see these things birthed in our world. Yes, we are called to birth the things of God into this world, caring for the needs of our mothers and others, even when we find ourselves in personal moments of turmoil and challenge. And I know I'm speaking to somebody else besides myself. That when we find ourselves in these moments where it's all too easy to look in on ourselves, the Lord Jesus Christ didn't say, Mom, look at me. He said, look at him and care for him, and you, look at her and care for her. This is our walking worthy of the wisdom and virtue shown by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ while he was on the cross. Dare I say, in the very least, this is our acceptable service. So I ask you this morning to contemplate, how are you being called to care and thus birth virtue into this world? Because I believe we're all in agreement that it needs it. Let us leave this place carefully contemplating our love, not only for our mothers on this Mother's Day, but also for our neighbors, because the both are deeply intertwined. Let's pray. Oh, mighty and faithful God, Lord, we thank you for the beauty of virtue. We thank you for the beauty of motherhood, Lord. We thank you for our mothers. As we leave here this place this morning, Lord, this first day of the week, desirous of going into the world to be the light and the salt of this world, to bring about virtue into this world, to birth the things of God into this world, Lord, we know that you will be with us. We ask you to remind us of that as we go throughout our week. Allow us to bring rays of sunshine to mothers as we go throughout our day. Allow us to honor our mothers and fathers as the scriptures remind us, Lord. And allow us to see the increase. Thank you, mighty God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.